Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we got stuff to do here. First of all, I got to let you know, B. Scott is indeed in the building.
That's right.
All right. So we will get to around the NFL, and maybe my boss doesn't like to hear that, but we got more important things to talk about. As the big news on the day is that the Jets fired Robert Saleh, but that's not even the important thing. The more important thing is Adam Schefter broke that news in the back of an Uber. And in that Uber driver's day had to be very interesting. Now he has a story to tell, which has allowed us to tell our stories of our happen-to-be-there moments. I was talking about going to a crawfish boil and randomly meeting Avery Johnson, a nickname for him that I have that I will not say on air. And, of course, I will tease you. My bad. But various people texting in and sending in YouTube chat messages and Twitch messages. Charles said that he saw Seth Payne at Kroger in 2022, said, hey, what's up, Seth? And Seth looked shocked that he knew him or recognized him. Guy on the YouTube said Sugar Shane Mosley was with his son in front of them waiting to watch Toy Story 3.
Okay. Okay.
Just
that makes sense.
I feel like the recipe for this is interesting person, unorthodox or interesting place. And then if you get a story out of it, then it's really fun.
Okay.
And it seems like, B-Sky, you have one.
Okay, so since he went Sugar Shane Mosley, I would say I did see Evander Holyfield when I was a kid in one of the airports. I can't remember if it was Hobby or Bush, but it would have had to have been Hobby. Saw him in the airport, and he had nothing but Evander Holyfield gear on. Like, shirt, shorts, like his whole, like it was all, it was like, wonder who that is.
Right.
Looks like Evander Holyfield and has nothing but Evander Holyfield gear. But I got another one who also had gear of his own, okay? Dennis Rodman.
Come on, man.
And there was a streak here. I don't know if y'all remember this. There was a streak on the internet where Dennis Rodman was just popping up in Houston. People were randomly running into Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think anything of it, really.
Yeah.
Until I randomly ran into Dennis Rodman. And it was a day that Houston sports fans will never forget. It was the final week of the regular season in 2022, the game that a lot of Texans fans did not want them to win on the road against Indianapolis. Lovie Smith's last game, we all knew it. Davis Mills had been a disaster all year. We were ready for it to be done, but we really, really wanted that number one overall pick.
Yeah.
We all know they won the game.
That is right.
And we history was made, right?
Correct.
But on that day,
Shout out to Lovie.
What I was doing actually was avoiding getting punched in the face by Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
What?
All right. See, now you can't be mad at me for stopping around the NFL for this. Yeah, let's get into it, baby. Dennis
Rodman thought I was trying to press up on his woman.
Oh, no.
Or at
you
least,
never told that.
Oh, man.
Hold on, real quick. Were you?
No. I was watching the game. So here's the story. I get there, and the TV, so this is at Pistoleros on Montrose, or in Montrose. It's on Westheimer, I would think. But it's in Montrose. And we get there, and the TV on the deck is not on the game, the TV that I'm closest to, okay? But immediately, the first thing I notice when I get there is Dennis Rodman,
sure.
Right? Because he's unlike anybody else that's there.
Very notable.
And he's at a table holding court with about 7 or 8 people, okay, kind of being Dennis Rodman. I didn't think much of it. I've seen celebrities. I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm really there to watch the game because, as you guys know, this was a big day in Houston sports history.
Correct.
So business is business.
Yeah.
But they had a TV on what I needed. The TV that did have it was closest to a woman who was sitting alone.
Oh, I don't know. I'm starting to doubt this.
No. Seriously.
Really, real convenient story here.
No, honestly, this woman had to, no offense to her, she was a fine-looking woman, but she would have had to at least been 20 years my senior.
Yeah.
So, like, I noticed her, but I honestly...
That ain't stopped nothing.
Just did not... I wasn't thinking on...
There's a term for that.
I wasn't thinking of it on those terms, honestly. So, it's like, I get there, and I'm watching the game, and Dennis Rodman comes over, and he goes, what are you doing?
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Now, mind you, I have not spoken to the woman. She just happens to be sitting by herself. And why is she sitting by herself? Because Dennis Rodman has left the table to go hold court with 7 or 8 strangers and be Dennis Rodman.
Look at him lashing out.
But which honestly is none of my business.
Dennis Rodman's on the list.
No. Dennis Rodman, go be Dennis Rodman and do your thing, handle business. And this lady, she can handle her business.
Yeah.
I'm really there to watch the game. And so I'm thinking Dennis Rodman,
sure you
a sports dude, it's like, you know, wanting to watch the game. I'm like, yeah, I'm watching the game and kind of telling them, hey, you know, the number one pick is on the line.
Yeah.
Houston sports history is on the line. We got to lose this game. You know, Turns out we didn't have to. But that's the energy that I'm on. And Dennis Rodman repeats himself. He goes, "What are you doing?"
I just told you.
And I'm like, nah, seriously, watching the game. They don't have, my TV does not have the game on it. And so I think the lady steps up and kind of says, yeah, no, he's been standing here for a while just watching the game. And it kind of just diffuses its own self. And eventually, by the end of it, we take a picture, we dap up, and it's all good.
He wasn't happy with it.
Before me. But let me reiterate, I don't give a damn how he felt or what he thought. I was there to watch the game.
And you were a little scared.
No.
Yeah, you were.
No. You know what I wasn't going to do? Fight Dennis Rodman.
That was a bad idea.
There was absolutely nothing, because it wasn't going to be like, oh, what you going to do about it? Yeah. If Dennis Rodman wanted to fight, I was going to leave. Nah. I didn't feel like I needed to prove anything to anybody or nothing like that. I just seriously wanted to watch the game in my spot.
He definitely was saying that he ain't watching no sorry ass Texas.
That's probably
trying to push up on my woman.
That's right. But my thought is, are you really with this woman if you left her alone and to go hang out with these seven or eight strangers?
We're getting down to the nitty gritty here.
I told you he was going to lash out. That's a fantastic story. I'm glad that it ended with a dapping up and a nice photo being taken.
Yeah, there's a picture on my Instagram somewhere of me and Dennis Rodman standing outside of Pistoleros.
I like how he repeated himself, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what you're saying. What are you doing?
He said, I'm not changing these words, but I'm changing the tone. You'll understand what I'm trying to get at here. All right,
Look, I didn't want your woman or to fight you. I'm not doing none of that.
Whew, okay, let's get into Around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution, reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, let's start with Monday Night Football, because the other thing feels just a little too heavy right this moment. just a little too heavy right this moment. All right, but you get the Kansas City Chiefs, Monday Night Football. They get a victory over the New Orleans Saints. And for you guys, what's notable? Because there's a few things that come to mind, which is a Kansas City Chiefs win that was a little sloppy, which I think is a little encouraging for the Texans in the ways that it happens. There's also Derek Carr.
He's in midseason form.
A ghastly interception, but then also
coming down to earth, dare we say.
Oblique injury that took him out for the rest of the game. And then there's also big boy interception.
God, I love that.
There's big boy pick.
Yeah, that which was my favorite part of the night. Not just the pick, obviously, but the decision. And my dad, I was watching this with my dad. I was at my parents' house watching this one. And my dad, he catches, I had actually gone to the bathroom when this happened. And so he's like, hey, you got to hurry up and come watch this replay. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe this happened. This guy would not only luck his way into the pick, and credit to him for getting the pick, but the intuitiveness to take it back. And I'm like, he's got to be crazy to take that back. He's a defensive tackle. What are you thinking? Take a knee. Get that 20 yards.
No, what he's thinking is, I don't get a chance to do this.
Yeah.
And when I got a chance to do it, and
he can pick him up and put him down.
But on the one hand, you could think that's a selfish thought because, you don't get the chance to do this, but the likelihood of you getting it past the 20 is so low. Like, that's a selfish decision.
Nah, he believed in
himself. But not if you're this guy.
Yeah.
And the guy
does backflips.
Backflips. And you could tell there's some running back in his.
How he kept it high and tight?
High and tight. Yeah. In fact, the guy that we're talking about, to put some respect on his name, Kalen Sanders.
Yes.
Kalen Sanders, ward number 50. Was it 50? I'll have to go back to check.
Yes, it was 50.
It was 50. All right, cool. And it sounded like this.
Smith-Schuster, and there he is, Kalen Sanders.
And he took it out.
The 35, and his brother Cameron's got to be pumped.
I was thinking the whole time after I saw it, why isn't this guy a short yardage back?
Well, he might be here soon.
I'm dead serious.
Oh yeah, coming from the team that uses Taysom Hill, and I'm not trying to compare the two, but just like going outside of the box. Yeah, no,
dude,
I
can
see that.
He can pick him up and put him down.
Definitely could be a fullback or the
fourth and one at the goal line.
The extra eligible receiver.
Yeah.
You know, it could definitely be that. I could see that.
Yeah, and I said I was going to put some name of respect on his name. I said his name wrong. Kalen Sanders, who's apparently his brother, is a dancer for Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was hearing that storyline.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
You saw that all
the time. I didn't realize that was the same guy.
They was actually talking about that
right
story
before
the interception.
He is really funny. His brother
was a backup dancer.
Yeah.
Background dancer. Taylor Swift's backup dancer.
Yeah. And of course, Taylor Swift has a connection to the Chiefs through
her. And was there last night.
And was there through her dating.
He was on the stage with Travis Kelce.
He was. Yeah. He absolutely was. They showed the picture of that. All right, so another piece of audio that I want to get to real quick before we dive even deeper into this was actually from the Manning cast. Lopez, one of your favorite things. Mm-hmm. And Paul Rudd, who is a Kansas City fan, was on the Manning cast, and he was one of the few people who did not enjoy the big boy interception that we got there.
What's going to happen? Who's going to score?
I'm going to say Juju.
Juju? Oh, no. Oh, no. I think that really is a bad prediction.
You think he's going to win this for a touchdown?
He's going.
Okay, here's the thing. I never want you to ask me these questions again. This is why I don't talk about the three-peat. This is why I don't talk about this. I don't do this. To even talk during a Chiefs game, this is horrible for me.
So if you did not understand what was happening there, Peyton was asking Paul Rudd to predict who the ball would go to. He says Juju Smith-Schuster, admittedly, once the ball's in the air. And then pick happens, and he is just... If you didn't know that he was really a fan, he's like, never again. I will never do this again. Yep. Because clearly when I say things, bad things happen.
Wrong place, wrong time. That's all you can say there. Wrong place, wrong time. I just love the superstition of fandom and not wanting to talk about three-peats and not wanting to talk about plays and say and not wanting to give picks. Like, you see this all the time. Like, hey, I just feel icky about it. Mm-hmm. To me, that element of sports fandom, the superstitious nature of it, always gets me. I always find it funny.
But you're superstitious.
I'm only a little stitious.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
I'm only
a
little
setup
stitious.
And the knockdown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not superstitious. Absolutely not.
Let's get back to the Kansas City of this all. And another kind of tight. Oh, you got something?
I just want to say with Kansas City, because I think they're the big story. Mm-hmm. I could not get over the fact that they were doing all of this without their weapons. Like the story of Kansas City is how they can basically take, as long as they have competent NFL talent on their team, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be special. If you take the combination of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and even this version of Travis Kelce, who jumped in the time machine, Kareem Hunt drops out of the sky, apparently.
102 yards and a tutty.
Like, mm-hmm. Is it 2018 or is it not? So, like, the fact that they could do this, that they could, like, with this band of characters, this cast of characters, and then with that defense, that they can make all of this come together the way that they're doing is really the story to me. How the Kansas City Chiefs look as, I would say, as pedestrian as they've ever looked, but are as dominant as they've ever been.
Well, I refined it even a little more if I could, because, like, if you took away, this is saying a lot, if you took away everything the Chiefs have done and you just look at this season, they are a quarterback and a great defense. That's what they are.
Yeah.
What are the Texans? How are the Texans winning?
Yeah. No. The parallels are there.
A quarterback and a great defense.
For sure.
Yeah.
The parallels are 100% there. Now, mm-hmm. the difference is you've seen it with this team because they did it last year. And obviously, in different styles, they've won Super Bowls even before last year. So, mm-hmm. between all three of them, they've got the pedigree and the history and all of that. The built-in equity with fans and everybody understands what to expect. And with the Texans, you don't have any of that. Outside of a really good season last year. But the styles and similarities are absolutely there.
Yeah, 100% there. I think the distinction that you can make, obviously, offensive line, like that is a big difference, especially, and that allows them to run the football with like a Kareem Hunt. It's there, and I think that it's encouraging to remember that looking at Kansas City, the way that they're playing now, we saw them do that last year, and they just figured it out, right? They just duct taped this thing together to figure it out. And of course, I wouldn't want to talk about the Texans duct taping their offense and their team together, but they do need to have a level of figuring out. But that is possible for you to be able to go and then contend at the in the backside of this.
Another big difference, and I don't feel like we can overstate it. Kansas City Chiefs got Andy Reid calling the plays.
Yes.
And the Texans have Bobby Slowick. And you can feel however you want to feel about that.
No, there's a clear difference in experience, at least.
A difference. There's not even a comparison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not even wouldn't even be in the same species of play caller.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main difference, I would say.
Absolutely.
All right. I will save one of these things for what's popping to give you the information, because I want to get to the fact that we all agree that Xavier Worthy could fight, though, right? Like, we are certain now that he could fight. And I did not see him do anything fight-like in the course of this game. Why I say this is, He scored a 3-yard touchdown, which is the only reception of the game, and he immediately took that football and gave it to a pretty young woman in the stands who turned out to be his mother.
I'm chronically online, so I knew this moment was coming at some point.
Mm-hmm. Because, so you already knew his mom.
Oh, his mama's been discovered, brother. Been discovered. I followed Texas, obviously, and the Austin media. Yeah. So she's been interviewed and been available before. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is not the first time she's been discovered if you follow Texas or follow Xavier just even a little bit. So I was waiting on this moment. Like, eventually, he's either going to score a touchdown and give his mom the ball as he did, or they're just going to be doing a Chiefs game. Xavier Worthy's going to come up, and she's going to be there. And the cameraman ain't dumb. The director ain't dumb. You see a pretty girl.
Yeah.
You linger.
Yeah. You put the camera on her. That's just what you're going to do. Even without the, hey, here's the ball mama type of stuff, yeah. Right? So once he did that, I was like, oh, here
it's
we go.
Now the
world knows what I've been known, and which is exactly what Reggie said. This boy been fighting probably all of his life. Or, and this is what I was getting at when I responded to you on Twitter, Reggie, was either he had to learn to accept it or maybe he just established a certain level of, like, maybe he fought early and it's like, hey, he'll fight behind this.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Fair
type
enough.
Of thing. Maybe he established a reputation, or he just learned to let it go. Kind of understand.
That's the toughest thing, man. Was it Zach Wilson's mom? Right?
I think
at the draft.
I just keep remembering the MILF Hunter thing that went around. I don't remember what his mom actually looks like.
I think Zach Wilson's mom became a thing.
I think there's
the
something. Yeah, I think there's something
Steph,
to that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another one. Definitely another one. No question. Steph has been in at least a fight or two behind that.
Yep. All right, guys.
100%.
People are saying Jaden Daniels apparently probably has hands.
No, that's another one.
For real?
Yeah. Draft night.
I wasn't intending on creating an index of the players who have hands because they got the fine mom.
Yeah.
But I hope for those of you that don't understand what we're doing here, I want to let you in on the joke, which is just, When you are a young man growing up and you had the fine mama, knowing that boys sometimes are jerks.
Yes.
They will say ill-advised things about your mom because you got
Google.
The fine mama. And Xavier Worthy, definitely.
I have this story because I was one of those. So my mom's older. So I was the one who was kind of always looking at the other mom. See, like, you know what I mean? And so when it was, I had a friend to reverse it on me.
Oh, no, you got the reverse.
Even though my mom was older, and, you know, a little bit older, and like these were kind of some ridiculous things he was saying.
Yeah.
But he would just like to throw it back in my face
to
kind of
with you.
See how it felt. And I was like, you know what? I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that anymore.
This is how we learn.
Yes.
Real quick before we go, someone, Pal Pals on the Twitch, or on the YouTube rather, said, why can Kansas City teach them how to play offensive line? We can't figure out in 10 years. I think also it's worth noting. You don't remember when Patrick Mahomes was running for his life in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
They invested heavily
in
offensive line. Now, that's tough because the Texans have also invested in offensive line.
Yeah,
but
their offensive line issues are not for lack of investment.
Yeah.
We can
say
that for sure.
CJ Stroud on the Pat McAfee show today. So
with fake glasses.
All right.
They are.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
But you didn't have to say it.
Never been a big fan of the fake glasses.
Yeah, he wears those before game day. The Texans get him in his pregame fits, and he's done that at least a time or two before a game. So that's his style.
Mm-hmm. We're just going in the hour of B. Scott here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into B. Scott's thoughts. We'll do it.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Iron Clark, B. Scott.
B. Scott from Iron Clark. B. Scott from Iron Clark. B. Scott from Iron Clark.
Oh, yeah. You know who it is. B. Scott in with In the Loop on a Tuesday. B. Scott, we appreciate you. I know one of your thoughts is that Lopez does not understand what stupid is.
Yeah, I think he is confusing stupid with wise.
Yeah.
He's kind of got it reversed there, man.
You don't need to talk about that.
No,
that will not go out to air, but I just want
No,
that is clear. What will go out to air is B. Scott's thoughts here in the loop. We do this every Tuesday. Get into.
Shout out to Shelley Long.
What you wanted. What are you doing? We were moving on.
What is he doing here?
Figgy's heard the story.
Have
that's it. Let's move on.
Are we moving on for real this time? Okay, B.
John,
Scott.
Come up to the class.
Hey, all he did was confirm what we said, him not knowing the difference at this moment. Okay, now the audience knows.
To some degree.
Or
if they can connect dots.
Or if you know, you know.
Yeah, they can connect
that?
Dots.
How about that, Lo? Yeah. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
There you go.
You ever seen the movie Money Pit? Good movie.
Okay, very good. You just keep trying to drop hints, don't you? I will move along, and we'll leave Lopez where he is in that way. I'm interested into when B-Side's thoughts begins turning into Rockets, but I'm sure that there's a lot of Texans in your thoughts. What are we thinking on?
Yeah, so I've got some concerns about the defense again. Last week I came in here and was concerned about the secondary, specifically the cornerback position.
Yep.
Specifically cornerbacks not named Derek Stingley.
Which we have actually news about today. I'm glad you mentioned that because I kind of forgot to say it. Aaron Wilson letting us know that Kadar Holman was on the practice squad for the Ravens. He has now been signed to the 53-man roster for your Texans.
Okay.
Which made me kind of furrow my brow, because I was like, hey, don't you have Desmond King on your practice squad? You're not elevating him, but you're signing cornerbacks off of
to the
squads?
Roster.
To the roster?
And Jeff Okuda would be somebody who could come back available this week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the status is of that, like where he's at with his injury or if he's going to practice. And we'll find that out, you know, probably tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. But that also makes it curious between Jeff Okuda's assumed availability, upcoming availability, and the fact that Desmond King is on your roster. It does make you curious about the Kadar Holman signing, but it also makes sense because he has some background here. He's been here before, so you know, maybe there's just something about him that they like more than what they've got. But I'll say this, though, I've never liked the depth of that position.
Fair.
And so you could do anything. You could elevate a guy that you got. You could do anything behind your top guys, and I would understand it because I don't really feel good about what you got below that.
Yeah.
So I would say that part makes sense. But as far as how I feel about this game or in this moment, like, credit to the defense. And I did this last week where didn't want to come in here complaining about a win and like making it seem like it was all doom and gloom when they got the dub. And now they're 4-1, right? They're the second best team in the AFC. We don't want to overlook that part.
Right.
But, man, I'll be damned if the Bills did not go away from the thing that was working for them. And
it's number 70 is an eligible receiver.
Right. If number 70 is eligible receiver, hey, we're running it down the Texans' throat early on in the game. Now, they just happened to come up with a couple of explosives, one specifically to Nico Collins to kind of make the game a two-score game. But it's like they turned it into the Josh Allen show right then and there, despite the fact that before that, they were actually cooking with James Cook on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and to me, that was an issue of, you know, conversely, how I felt the week before is like, hey, up front, I'm concerned about how they're holding up against this run game. And then also, and I know they said this wasn't really much part of the game plan. They didn't think they'd be able to do it, but they're not getting home. They're not getting much pressure. They don't really seem like much of a threat up front the way I was expecting them to be. I didn't feel bad about it last week as much as I do now.
I felt worse about it last week than this week when it comes to getting home because, you know, I kept throwing out that stat. You know, your two premier defensive ends had 4 sacks in 4 games. But I gave him a little bit more of a pass this week because that is one of the hardest guys there is to tackle.
For sure.
You know, in Josh Allen. However, I was with you 100%. That was one of my passing thoughts yesterday was I don't understand why more teams don't try to just pound the ball on the Texans. I don't understand it.
Or even, like, in game, why you wouldn't stick with it when it was working. I mean, this was the thing that concerned me. And let's credit them again on that second drive where, y'all remember, they were running it down their throats. They were getting whatever they wanted. And then at the end of it, they definitely smelt it. They smelt it on them. They could smell it on them from a mile away.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, the Texans defense, give them credit, they bowed up and they only let go of a field goal. Now, there were a couple of penalties there that set them back and ended up helping them out a little bit. But, like, that was the blueprint. That was the way to beat the team. Now, I don't think that I'm not really that much worried about the Patriots. And honestly, if I'm just being real about it, the Texans, with what they've done over the last couple of weeks, have developed enough of a cushion in that pitiful division that they could even afford a letdown in this game and it not be the end of the world. I'm not saying that they should do it or I feel good about it. But to me, that is the glaring weakness of the team is it seems like you could run the ball on them if you want to.
Yeah.
It seems like if we get down here to the nitty-gritty and if they're going to be one of the better teams in the AFC and we're talking about the divisional game, maybe the AFC championship game, and they face a team like the Chiefs, like the Ravens, like this one,
yeah,
who might look at the film and decide better of it the mm-hmm. next time and say, you know what, we're going to, you know, we're going to hit them where it hurts. To me, they got to figure that out.
Go ahead. One of the things that comes up for me is I think you're right about the run defense. I think one of the reasons why the Bills went away from that is that the game script was such that you put them in a bad way. This is where complementary football is going to be important for these Texans.
And they were trailing early.
Yeah, exactly. Get out early on that team. Put yourself in an advantageous game script to where the other team is now having to look for points, right? Yeah. As opposed to having to put yourself in a place of comeback.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing about the Texans. The reason why I'm giving them credit is because it does. I mean, CJ Stroud talked about this a little bit after the game. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just a passing comment of his of, you know, everybody picking each other up when one is down. Like, everyone's going to have a bad moment, and you're going to need to pick them up. And the way that this game worked was CJ Stroud, for the most part, I thought, picking them up early, and then, you know, at times it was the defense picking them up late, you know. And then, of course, with the turnovers and the defense kind of, you know, helping you after that, mm-hmm. like you know, kind of staying put and helping you after the CJ Stroud turnovers, and then CJ Stroud at the very end doing just enough to get you in field goal position. That to me was the epitome of the cliche complimentary football.
Yeah. But yeah, I think offense is going to need to make sure to handle up. You do have an offense that can come back because of the explosives, but yeah, if you put yourself in an advantageous place, I think you help your defense be even tougher.
It's just hard to feel good about a championship caliber team, or that a team is championship caliber, when you've got these kind of questions about the offensive line and the defensive line.
Well, that's fair and true, but see, I came in guns blazing about I think they can get there after this last game, simply because of the defense as a whole, specifically against a really good talent. Like, people think there seems to be this point of, like, Josh Allen had a bad day. Nah, man, the Texans made his life miserable.
Yes, they did.
In the secondary.
Third highest pressure rate on the week.
You can give credit. I mean, you can give credit to some really good cornerbacks.
And I hear you on not necessarily getting home, but I think Lopez is right that this was a different challenge, a different game plan set out for this defensive line. I think first and foremost was containing.
Yeah.
And then second was applying pressure. And if you get home, that is excellent. I think that because of that, especially
now,
with the lack of depth,
yeah, then we can talk.
Well, so we're talking about two different things here, though, because we're talking about run defense and getting home on your pass rush, right? The run defense was a concern more specific to this game.
Fair enough.
Not getting home is more specific to the totality of the season.
I feel you.
And this being that style of game did not help that. And even if you're just kind of looking at it in isolated situations, it just did not feel like, hey, mm-hmm. this is the disruptive front that I'm expecting them to be. Now, I'm not saying that they can't get there, but I just did not feel that coming from this game.
Yeah, the big question for that comes up then is, what does Danico Autry do to change that? Because this is the final week that he will be dealing with his suspension, and then after that, he should be returning to your team and giving you great play in the middle, you imagine, right? Like, you paid good money for him. And so what does that shift, right? Like, is he able to assist in run defense, or is that just like going to be in a getting up field and making it tough on a quarterback?
It's kind of weird because it feels like you need him on the inside for run defense. Like, going to our point here, you need him on the inside for run defense, and you need him on the outside on passing situations.
Yeah, but you're not going to change anything on the outside.
No, you're not. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So it will be interesting to see. I'm just as interested to see it as anybody else because I do not know. Now, I feel like he's going to make his money on the inside on pass rushing downs, but what do you do with him? Is he an every down guy? Does he displace either Fadakasi or Mario Edwards? It felt like going into this, Mario Edwards was the guy that they felt best about.
Mm-hmm.
Fadakasi has made some plays for them. And I think they feel good about all of these guys, to be clear.
I agree. Yeah.
But who does he displace, and where does it, like, how does that impact the rotation? I think that they're a team that wants to play a lot of bodies anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how that all factors in, for sure.
All right. Those are some of B. Scott's thoughts here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. We got one more segment with our guy. Let's get into what's popping, maybe some baseball, some more Deshaun Watson news, as if we haven't had enough of that. And we'll do all of that next on Sports Radio 610.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here. Sports Radio 610 In the Loop. Our guy B. Scott is hanging out. In fact, I can pull back the curtains. We were just talking Rockets. We are full sicko behavior right now. Rockets got one preseason game in. One, count them, uno, at 8 p.m. yesterday against the Utah Jazz.
I came in here with Rockets gear on, man. I busted out a old. This has got to be at least a six. This is from the James Harden era of Rockets, the one mission. Yeah.
One mission. Yeah.
But, I still got those, man. I still reflect on that. On that era, at times fondly, but mostly with angst, I will admit.
Well, we're gearing up for that. They had the first game. I don't remember who won or lost because that does not matter.
They definitely lost.
Okay, cool. I was not paying that much attention to the actual score of it. But it was interesting to see these guys back out there, get a feel for what the play style is. But that's neither here nor there. We'll have plenty of time to talk about them. When we talk about what's popping, I did mention a little bit of this earlier. We got some news about the roster construction of your Houston Texans. Kadar Holman was signed to the active 53-man roster of your Texans from the practice squad of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, that is notable because he's a cornerback. And clearly, you need some cornerback depth on this team. However, it made me furrow my brow because, again, like, you have Desmond King signed to the practice squad here. And, I mean, he came back and, I mean, remember when he got cut? It seemed like, or when the news, rather, not when he
that
got
he wouldn't
cut.
Make,
yeah, that he was like, no, I want to be somewhere where I'm starting. And that tweet gets deleted, and soon thereafter, he does get signed to the practice squad. Yeah. Eventually, you're like, okay, maybe he has an opportunity to come in and play. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's someone else being signed from outside of the building who admittedly has been here before, but now he is on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, but also the big thing of them signing from somebody else's practice squad, which just follow that logic, it just means that that's somebody that would have been available to them before.
Yeah.
You know, so if he's on somebody's practice squad, then what was really holding...
What is happening right now?
Yeah, what
is their
right?
decision-making?
That's what it's saying. Something's happening right now because if he's on somebody's practice squad and you're putting him on the 53-man, that's somebody that you could have gotten before.
Yeah.
Right? That's somebody that's been available to you. And as you just said, as we've mentioned, he's been here before, so they have a familiarity. If they wanted to have Kadar Holman on the team, they could have long had him on the team. So it makes you wonder, okay, is something going on with the guys that we've been watching play? Or is there something going on with, say, Jeff Okuda, who's supposed to be coming back?
But
is he not maybe ready, or do they not feel as good about his readiness as, say, they do about a Kadar Holman, who I'm assuming has been healthy on the practice squad? Forgive me for not having followed the health of one Kadar Holman.
How dare you?
But I'm just assuming that they feel better about him on the from the Ravens practice squad with his familiarity with them than they do about somebody that has recently been injured and has been off injured since he's been here.
And I mean, appreciation.
Jeff Okuda, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Appreciation of story time on the YouTube said when you pull someone from another practice squad, you have to sign them to the 53-man roster. Yes, we understand that.
That's literally what we're saying.
However, like, when you do that, you are admitting
there's corresponding moves too.
You have a practice squad that you have that you did not pull up. Yeah, the corresponding moves part of this is also interesting because I have not mentioned this yet. Tegan Quatoriano, who was cut, is brought back at a tight end spot. I imagine that's because British Brooks has gone to the IR.
But what are they doing on the roster? That's two players. British Brooks is down. Did Jerry Hughes go?
Jerry Hughes is on the IR.
Yeah, Jerry Hughes is on the IR.
So they're good in terms of like the 53 because Quatoriano, he was signed from the Bears practice squad, which means he gets to the 53.
Which, again, another guy, that's another opportunity to look at your own practice squad where you signed Irv Smith.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, well, maybe he's going to. Nope.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going to unfold throughout the day and throughout the next 2 days, honestly, to figure out how they're going to do the math of it or what it all means. But I think we'll gather what it all means based off of going to practice and seeing if Jeff Okuda is out there.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, how much does Kadar Holman play? What does he do on Sunday? So, like, those are the things to be watching. What are the practice reports look like on Wednesday and Thursday? Not Friday,
but
Wednesday and Thursday specifically. And then what does Kadar Holman actually do on Sunday? Because he's on the team now, to the texter's point.
Both of them are.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But with Kadar Holman specifically, you went out of your way to go get him. So what does he do on Sunday?
Yeah. So that's something to watch for your Texans. Elsewhere, some other things that are popping. It is Houston-based, even if it is not Texans-based. Deshaun Watson, he had been sued in a lawsuit that alleged that Watson exposed himself, then sexually assaulted a woman while on a date at her apartment in 2020 here in the fair city of Houston. That lawsuit has been settled.
And business decision.
Apparently that settlement is, quote, confidential. So there's an NDA that is binding it. and we move, right? With that NDA situation, I think that that bars the NFL from taking into account any part of his clauses in his contract.
Right.
And so, yeah.
As you know, had he been suspended or whatever, then they have that clause that kicks in that his contract wouldn't necessarily be guaranteed anymore.
I know, so the Browns like, damn it.
So he said, oh, I'll settle. Oh, yeah, I'll settle. And so it stays guaranteed.
Oh, well, we've seen long ago where they went away from this we won't settle talk because they did that. They settled all the ones that it seemed like they could. I feel like there's still that one outstanding one that is not settling. And it feels like she's doing it on principle.
Mm-hmm.
But this is no surprise. And it is the part to me with the Deshaun Watson story that was always the Pandora's box that made it not worth it. The reason why I didn't understand it for the Browns, I understood their desperation because of what they've kind of gone through as a franchise.
Or the Falcons. Who else? None of y'all getting away from this. The fact that y'all was out here trying to get that man.
Miami.
Miami. Oh, yeah.
The Eagles would have been out there, but he didn't want to go there. Like, there were teams that wanted to do this, but, like, it to me, the Browns were the only ones that were willing to guarantee the entire contract on top of everything that they gave up to get him. But, again, the point is that there was always the possibility. Once you find out it's 20 women, 40 women, 60 women, however many women it is, okay, there's a pattern here.
Yeah.
No matter what you believe to even be the facts of the matter, the truth of the matter, there is a pattern here.
Absolutely. If there's 20, there's more.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
There's more out there.
Well, there
when
were.
When is it going to stop?
There were literally more.
Yeah.
And so, because they got to be 40 and 60. Yeah. And so, then could there be more than that?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so that speaking of Pandora's box, like you don't know, you just do not know how much of this can come up. And it just, to me, seemed like a horrible decision for that alone. Never mind the fact that he can't play football no more. Like that part, even aside, because it's the least important. But it is also a matter of fact.
Yeah,
and all of these things are true at the same time. Like, damn Browns, damn.
Wouldn't let that happen to me though.
No, couldn't be me.
Yeah,
couldn't be me.
As we continue talking about what's popping. Playoff baseball is still going on, and it's real interesting.
Talk about spicy.
I mean, we have all four divisional series tied at 1-1, right? Yeah. Like, there is nobody who is gearing for a sweep here, which is fascinating. In the course of this, also, some of these games provide interesting storylines. One of them, Lopez, that I think that you're interested in is laughing at the Yankees.
Laughing at the Yankees. You know, Martin Maldonado. Oh, wait. No, it's not Martin Maldonado anymore that has the worst postseason strikeout rate in history. Yes, that Martin Maldonado.
Somebody's worse?
He's now second. Aaron Judge is first.
That's clearly the name you were thinking, wasn't it?
Aaron Judge with the worst postseason strikeout rate in history.
There's got to be something going on there, man. Like, and sometimes I have some sympathy because some of the best baseball players will go through this, right? Jeff Bagwell was infamously not good in the postseason. Kyle Tucker, we're having a conversation right now.
Yeah, we start a conversation.
Literally right now about how he's not showing up in the postseason. But these are also like bona fide stars, superstars, talented dudes in the game. Like, the Yankees, not being a Yankees fan, I still feel pretty good saying they'd rather have him than not. Like, to me, it's just like, man, wake up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, snap out of it. Like, come on. Like, pick it up. Figure it out. But, hey, man, if the Astros are not going to be in it, I know Astros fans are going to take some joy in Yankee misery as it comes.
Exactly. Schadenfreude is what the... And
on top of the fact that the Mets are one of the cooler stories.
Yes.
Like, they're like a... You know, a team that you weren't really expecting, even though they spent all of this money.
They're lovable.
They seem like they're going to be mediocre, and then all of a sudden it clicks for them, and now they're lovable.
Yeah.
And they're beating teams at the end of games, like they're losing in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And then here they come with a Pete Alonso home run at the end or just some ridiculousness at the end. Like, the Mets are a cool story, and the Yankees are like, you know, butt cheeks are tight.
And that's going to compound itself. When Aaron Judge, a star of that caliber, he sees this, he knows what he's doing, he hears, you know, fans. That's like the definition of pressing.
Mm.
You know, like, he's going to just press and press and press.
Yeah.
Along those lines, you know, you have that happening. And then elsewhere in the NLDS, one of the NLDS series, that's oxymoronic, the S in NLDS is series. Anyway.
Yep. I didn't even catch that, but, yep, but you are correct.
Yep. It's like ATM machine.
Yeah.
That one gets on my nerves.
Sometimes really you just got to reiterate.
You know? Yeah.
Sometimes you need a little redundancy just for emphasis.
Yeah.
What we needed also was a little bit of bad blood, apparently, because Padres Dodgers is delivery.
Man, it is wild, and it is they're throwing baseballs at the manager's head.
Yes. And if you do not understand what's happening there, Dave Roberts claimed that Manny Machado threw a baseball into the dugout at his head.
With intent.
Now, Manny is, his side of this is, I always throw the baseball into the dugout.
Did you see it?
But the Dodgers actually did not see it, to be completely honest.
He buzzed it. He buzzed it pretty good.
The Dodgers are very adamant in claiming that, no, he threw it in there with some gusto. In fact, here's the manager, Dave Roberts, of the Dodgers talking about it.
I didn't notice it. I did see the video, and it was unsettling. Obviously, I have a relationship with Manny from years past. There was intent behind it. It didn't almost hit me because there was a net, and that was very bothersome. If it was intended at me, I'd be very, it's pretty disrespectful. So I don't know his intent. I don't want to speak for him, but I did see the video and the ball was directed at me with something behind it. So, but I don't know what led to that. I didn't see it in real time, but I did see the video.
Did you feel after seeing the video, he should have been ejected for that?
I don't think they should have had a little arm around each other conversation. If players can throw balls at opposing managers,
I mean,
he got a little Miss Karen bag there. He's like, I mean, there was intent. I mean, and if there was intent, I don't know. You might should do something about it. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure how I would have handled this.
I don't know.
So somebody throwing a ball at you, like I'm not sure how I would have handled this, but I do know this.
Sound like you would have gone on your Xavier Worthy. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, no. All I'm saying is
you should have went Dennis Rodman.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
There is a podcast that Odyssey produced called Baseball Isn't Boring.
Correct.
Case in point.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me that baseball don't have no juice, man. Like, we win or lose, whoever wins or loses this series, Padres or Dodgers, we win.
Well,
yes.
We win because of this, because this is entertaining.
Especially because we're not going sweet. Like, it looks like we're going to get all these games.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And to be clear, I don't want Dave Roberts to be hitting the head with no baseball.
No, absolutely.
I don't want Manny Machado, following through.
And then the fans are throwing crap all over people. And
yeah, yeah. Was it Soto or
it was Profar?
That's right. It was Profar in that game. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't like co-sign it, but I am entertained by it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how to reckon with that,
the other
but
thing
that's
is
the truth.
The fights in the stands are going to compound themselves too.
They've always had those.
Dodgers fans are the worst in baseball.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, worse than Philly, worse than Yankees.
Underrated also in that same division. Candlestick.
And the Sticks.
They don't.
Well, yeah.
I'm dating myself, but the Giants, the San Francisco
the
Giants.
Play, what is it, AT&T? Is that what they call it now?
Yeah, you're the stadium guy.
Yeah.
I put you on the spot there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I believe it's AT&T.
Those guys, like all of them, man, it is over on the West, man, they get a little wild at their baseball stadium. It's kind of underrated. But yeah.
It's Oracle Park.
Oracle Park. I should have known that. I actually should have known that one. But yeah, it is entertaining to say the least.
And you just absolutely know, like next July in an afternoon game.
Oh, yeah.
In L.A.
He's catching one to the elbow.
He's going to catch one in the shoulder at minimum. The shoulder.
Why wait that long? Yeah. Game 3 is in San Diego.
No, but they like have these memories. Baseball players have
memories. Yeah, of course.
Like,
but, I mean, we don't even have to wait that long, man.
They could come up 7 years from now if he's still out there.
And especially the next time that Manny Machado and Jack Flaherty, because apparently they was out here. Flaherty struck Manny Machado out with a pretty good pitch, and he tells him to go sit down, MF-er. The tempers are flying. So if there is a baseball game that, you know, you're not really all that interested in all the baseball, maybe watch this one. Mm-hmm. Maybe watch Padres Dodgers. You will get some entertainment value out of that.
This on top of it being pretty good baseball.
Correct.
Like the part that we didn't talk about as much, which because it's not as entertaining. But if you're into that, pretty good baseball out there.
Pretty good baseball. Yeah. And it's always a pretty good hour when we actually better than pretty good. When we have our guy B.
Already
Scott.
Over with?
Yeah, man. It happened.
Flies by, man.
You want to go overtime?
Yeah. Oh,
we about to talk about Nico Collins in this offense. You want to hang out?
Don't mind if I do.
Overtime.
Let's do it.
Overtime.
Sorry, Parker.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to come by. You have to delay
that's
that
right.
one.
He's like, He's got his fingers on the table.
All right, let's get a little overtime with B. Scott. What is this Texans offense without Nico Collins? Because it looks like he maybe, just maybe, you'll have to find out in NFL football games in the remainder of the season. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.